Countdown, start.
Are you ready?
Ubuni.
What's up?
After high school.
Getting paid.
Successful.
I don't know.
I'm a chef.
Journalist.
Business.
Science.
Ukuyo funda ACT.
Do my own things.
The independence.
And then, yeah.
Being who I want to be.
Moja. Are you ready?
Asi ekhriye.
Are you ready?
Good morning, goeiemôre, molweni, da, dumelang. I am your host, Zisanda Zazagushu, and you are listening to Umoja, a 10-part series that deals with learners in Grahamstown and how secondary schools prepare them for life beyond school. This series will be tackling the concept of school, this including school resourcing, creativity, adulting, and lastly, activism and alternative university degrees. So, on RMR 89.7 FM, so tell me, are you ready? Ushap. Previously, the morning show, dealt with how learners can explore their own potential at school and how this can be incorporated into art and creativity, while the afternoon show dealt with exploring one's potential through sport. This morning, we will be discussing technology and whether or not secondary schools prepare learners for the big, bad, but very real world outside of the classroom. In studio today, we are joined by Mr. Kjell Torp, the supervisor of AwareNet, and Leroy Mysiri, a researcher at MobiCell, but both these guests, esteemed guests, will be asked to impart their knowledge on this issue of Grahamstown technological infrastructure and what is being done to alleviate the consequences thereof, this especially in secondary school education. So good morning, sirs, and thank you for joining us today in studio.
Good morning, Susanna.
Thank you for having us.
In speaking of Grahamstown's technological infrastructure, what do you believe should be the immediate focus of Grahamstown in overcoming this digital divide?
Grahamstown isn't this homogeneous little town, right? It's deeply divided by inequalities. There's Grahamstown West and Grahamstown East. So I'll speak more about Grahamstown East because I think that's where most of the infrastructural, technological, educational, institutional problems kind of like lie. There is the usual stuff that I think people deal with, which is the lack of resources, the lack of basic computers, which also then sometimes leads to the lack of human resources, like ICT-based teachers, ICT-based facilitators in our schools. Remembering that specifically that a lot of people, especially in today, secondary school is supposed to be that platform that kind of like projects you into the next level, which hopefully for a lot of people is university, only to make yourself, you know, your human value, your labor worth later on quite useful. So not fixing that, I think, at a primary, secondary school level is one of the bigger problems that Grahamstown faces. That and the fact that it's in this weird little town that's filled with all these paradoxes when you compare it to Grahamstown West.
Leroy is completely right. I think what is very crucial is that in Grahamstown East, which is then, for those who don't know, the underprivileged part of our town, students in secondary schools, they do not have access to internet at home. They don't have ICT resources at home at all. So that's why it's extremely important that institutions have exposed them to ICT in a good way. And there's a huge problem now with the two institutions that students can access are schools, of course, and libraries. And in the libraries, we have a crisis right now. There isn't any internet at any of the libraries, apart from any of the satellite libraries in the township. There isn't any internet. In the whole of Sara Bartman, actually, there's a problem now with the internet. And secondly, there's a huge problem at a lot of the secondary schools when it comes to, there's also lack of infrastructure and lack of maintaining. Those schools that have infrastructure are not able to maintain it often. Not because the schools do not want it, but because the money and the skills have not been put there by the Department of Education. So it's crucial that that schools and libraries are there to give the resources to those kids who don't have this access at home.
In keeping with what has been mentioned in mind, we spoke to several sources on their opinion on Grahamstown technological infrastructure. Grahamstown is a city of disparities. While some learners have limitless amounts of technological resources, others depend on the aid of ICT and youth development programs for assistance. Speaking to experts and impacted school children is our reporter, Zoe Mafoko.
We've got huge problems in Grahamstown around the digital divide. There's radically different access to the internet, depending on who you are in this town. So, for example, there are 18 computer labs in township school, but most of them are locked. And they're locked simply because there isn't a human being who's been paid to open them. The infrastructure is there. The computers are there. There's even some internet access, but it's not being used.
A current Rhodes University student, who was once heavily affected by lack of technological access, agrees with Amna.
The government was not providing, and that's what we were hearing from our teachers and our principal. We had a computer lab, but we didn't have a computer.
Although the people have a vision for the city, there are still many obstacles which deter them from realizing their goals.
Makana Municipality is catastrophically weak and bankrupt. So I think the frustration is that there really is no leadership happening from that side. Rhodes doesn't have the resources to simply roll stuff out. They don't have the legal mechanisms to provide Wi-Fi to this community. They can only do that for their own members, which they're not even doing. Our Vice Chancellor, in his inaugural address, had a vision for Wi-Fiing the city, but nothing really substantial has happened. In fact, we've gone backwards. So all of those labs and those schools are now locked. The internet access in all of the public libraries in 22 libraries in the Saribatman district are offline. We're actually in a catastrophic situation around ICT access in this town.
I spoke to the students of Ntika, a government school here in Grahamstown, who believe that for them, ICT access is an issue in the city.
I am aware of computers. I've used one before. I don't own one. But it's not, but I do know it. Basics.
There is a computer lab.
I go equipped kakhulu basebenze and I evolve all the time. So that's why we really use it. Firstly, you have to write them by hand.
So type agree laptops, as we don't have one. So we go around borrowing from friends or family relatives.
And then print it out. Then sing any song.
You are listening to
Are you ready?
On RMR 89.7.
Shapololo, who's it?
After listening to the package and some of the statistics of Grahamstown's schooling tech status, what is your input on some of the statistics given by Mr. Rod Amna?
Yeah, he's correct. We have also experienced how schools, even if they have computer labs, are actually not using it. We, in our organization, we have this, we have a computer lab at up in Djosa, in the township. We have currently 13 computers, we're installing a few more, but we have, we experienced that there's always a long queue of learners who want to use those computers. And many of them, some of them come from schools that have computer labs, but they are not being used, or they're just being used certain time of the, time of the day. We now trying to implement, actually, as an organization, our model of an open lab. So our computer lab is basically open after school until sunset and also on Saturdays. And we trying to make the schools replicate our model by, for instance, having the computer labs open after school hours and during school hours through employing some community members, that which we also the same model as we're using, to basically make it an open lab and accessible at any time for the students at the schools. Because as one of your I think it was the former school owner mentioned, that it was, their labs were not always open, she didn't really get access to it, and for the best way for kids to learn when it comes to technology is to just be exposed to it. It's not necessarily that you sit there and being taught it by someone, but if you sit there by the computer and explore it yourself and explore the internet yourself, that's certainly the best way of learning through playing with ICT. So,
Do you have anything to add?
I completely agree with my esteemed colleague. I'm not necessarily ICT guru. As a research associate at Mobisem, I look at the social impact. Mm. So when I hear stats like that, it's kind of like quite scary how dire the situation is. Remember, Grahamstown isn't just like a very poor, high unemployment, respected town in the Eastern Cape. It's also a town with one of the top five universities in place. It's also a town with one of the most expensive private school systems in place. And so a lot of these problems are not beyond solving. And I think what our colleagues at Awareness are doing is great. But we need something bigger and sustainable, which involves the broader institutions at play currently.
While keeping this reality in mind, there are programs such as MobiSAM, which are beginning to involve themselves in fields of media skills with assistance to technology and AwareNet, a program designated to teaching digital literacy foundations. Should programs like these be included into the secondary schooling program?
You mean the general curriculum or?
The general curriculum.
Yeah, that would help if there is such a subject as ICT at the secondary school level, but it's not compulsory, and a lot of the schools, even if you want to do it, a lot of the schools don't offer it. So at least that subject should be offered at all schools, and of course, but I think it's crucial to it's not. IT is just not a separate subject, and that you should actually integrate it in all subjects, and that's what we're trying to do now with trying to train teachers to use the CAPS curriculum when teaching the CAPS curriculum to integrate it in with ICT. It should certainly be more integrated in general, not just as a subject, but integrated in the teaching all subjects at schools.
Do you have anything to add?
Yes, I'll talk more specifically about MobiSAM. So MobiSAM fundamentally is really more about addressing service delivery issues in Grahamstown, and particularly with the use of ICT technologies.
Oh, right.
And it definitely should be included in school system. I mean, it does many things. First of all, the exposure to ICT, like he's explained, very important. But secondly, what MobiSAM does primarily is try to invoke active citizenship. This idea that the local government can't do it by themselves, and if they can't do it by themselves, who can? I'm not South African, but I've always drawn from the fact that South African's history has always been driven in terms of trajectory, in terms of where it's going, by its youth. And that's where we're kind of like trying to key in that. How do we make a double impact, citizen engagement, exposure to ICT, and how do we merge the two things? Yeah,
of course, ICT by itself won't save the world, but ICT can be a tool.
Definitely.
There are many tools to do it.
Yeah.
Do you think it is a question of lack of resources or the absence of the knowledge of how to use these resources when it comes to students and educators?
It's probably both. The two things are interlinked, of course. If you don't have enough the resources, you won't get the knowledge. But sometimes resources are put in place and by the Department of Education or by donors, but there isn't really the support programs afterwards. You have a great ceremony where you inaugurate the computer lab, but after that, nothing really happens.
Mm.
So when those interventions are made in order to update city infrastructure, it has to be a long-term plan, not just putting an infrastructure there.
I agree with him. I mean, fundamentally for me, I'd always start off with the distribution part because that's a lot of control and power, the giver and the receiver kind of relationship. But even in the voice clip we just heard, so there's all these computers that are now there, but they're locked up somewhere. Those promises of massive Wi-Fi coverage in Grahamstown, I think that was in 2015, 3 years later there's nothing, And then now we're not just talking about Grahamstown, we're talking about the Sarah Bram district, which is like a massive part of the Eastern Cape, in a situated crisis. So a lot of it speaks to power dynamics for me in society in general. This is a need that the privileged part of society wants to address. Is it not? Is there other deeper issues under it that kind of like highlight why this is, which will then speak to the broader solution, I think, yeah.
But I don't think there isn't a lack of goodwill among the schools, for instance. We work a lot with teachers and they are positive.
Mm.
It's not that they don't want to use those resources. And I think many of them realize that some of those resources could help them in the work as teachers. You can have all the goodwill in the world, but it's not always enough. So,
In this next audio, we will be introduced to several people's experiences with technology, in particular, two students who went to Grahamstown schools, but who have had very different experiences in technological education systems. Lindo Kuhle-Jawa, a second-year Rhodes student, shares with us her story of being a girl from that lives in Matyotyombeni to being accepted at Rhodes University, and Zoe Well, a former pupil at DSG in Grahamstown and current student at Rhodes University.
I had my first phone in grade 3, and then I had my first laptop in grade 11, and I currently have a Dell laptop and I have a Samsung phone.
I have all Apple products and I get an upgrade every 2 years.
I have an iPhone and a laptop.
Okay, I got my first phone when I was in grade six.
I have a Nokia Lumia phone, also an irrelevant phone.
I also own a Mi.
So now I have another laptop, which is the latest.
P10, yes, the latest.
I always wanted to learn how to use a computer, but no one could teach me how to use it.
Zoe speaks on having to share her Wi-Fi and her computer with her fellow peers and how Rhodes University combats this dilemma the students face.
I've had friends who've come to my house to use Wi-Fi and to use the computer or a printer or something. I've never, not my personal laptop though, but yeah, I've had people come, to print stuff at my house, to do work on assignments if they don't have access to Wi-Fi. But most of the students that I know that don't have access to, don't have their own personal computers or Wi-Fi or anything, Rhodes has pretty much got that covered because they're in res. So, they've got access to computers and Wi-Fi, which I think is very good on Rhodes' part.
On the other hand, Lindo Kuhle speaks on not having access to Wi-Fi, let alone data, just to check her emails from Rhodes University. Here, becoming like the peers Zoe speaks of.
Who would have thought that a girl from the poor side of Grahamstown, where there is no infrastructure and very little education, would one day make it to university, and not just any university, but Rhodes University? Having grown up in informal settlements, a place called Amatyotyombe, Shacks, by the isiXhosa-speaking people, where there is no electricity or any sanitation, where one has to queue in one tap that is shared amongst many people to get water, would have found time to study and go to university. Had I been told 5 years ago that I will make it to university, that would have been hard for me to believe. I remember the day clearly when I received the email that I had been accepted to study at Rhodes. It was a Sunday afternoon in 2016, and I was at school with my peers. And there we were, scattered all over the classroom, everyone minding their own business. My phone beeped on my back pocket and I quickly reached for it. I was worried that the teacher might have had it and would want to take my phone away. I quickly scrolled on the screen to see who it was, and it was an email from Rhodes. I hurriedly tapped on it, but it wouldn't open, and for a minute there I thought my phone wasn't working properly. After all, it was a cheap one. Next to me sat my friend Annelisa, who was anxious to know who the message was from, and this was written all over her face as she crept over my shoulder to look on my phone screen. I quickly dialed *101# to check if I had data, and boom, my bundles had depleted. I quickly asked her to borrow me a phone because I knew she always had data to check my emails, and she gladly handed me the phone. There I went on to Google Chrome trying to log on to my Gmail account. The way I was in a hurry, I had to type in my password more than once because I kept on punching it wrongly. Then finally, I got the password correct and I accessed my emails. There were quite a lot of them and I quickly skimmed through them, looking for the one from Rhodes, and I finally found it. It read, "You have been accepted to study for a Bachelor of Arts at Rhodes University." I couldn't believe this. I had to read it twice. I read again, "You have been accepted to study for a Bachelor of Arts at Rhodes University." I still couldn't believe it. I blinked twice to make sure I wasn't dreaming or hallucinating and that everything was real. I was now drawing attention to myself in class. As I couldn't control my emotions, I broke down into tears. My friends came over to comfort me, and then I told them the news. Everyone was very excited for me. And from that day on, I knew that my journey at Rhodes University began. What I learned from this is that it doesn't matter wherever you come from, if you believe in yourself enough and if you work hard, you can achieve your goals and you can make it in life. You just have to strive hard enough for whatever it is that you want in life. Your goals are achievable.
What is your view of the ability of technology to socially and practically disadvantage students?
Yeah, well, we heard here in the two contrasting narratives here, how what strikes me is how The one person who had gone to DSD had was exposed to ICT anyway at home, and the one who went to a township school was not exposed at all. So you would, in a way, if you go to one of the private schools and come from a well-resourced home background, you'd sail to school anyway, and also in terms of ICT. You actually don't really need to learn to have access to all that ICT at school because you're probably familiar with it anyway. While a person like Lino Kortle would actually be the person who really would benefit from being exposed to it at school. And it just shows also in general how schools are, the resources you receive at school are actually much more important for those who are disadvantaged from a home environment than those who are advantaged. She did manage to read her email though, even if she on her phone. So in spite of not having been much exposed to ICT.
I think I completely agree with what he said. I mean, a lot of it, like I think it was mentioned earlier on, tech is just a tool. You know, it's a tool, and it can be a double-edged sword. It can be a tool that is used to empower, but lack of having that tool completely disempowers. So they're now both at roads, you know. I don't think their lives are similar at all. So exposure to technology is going to take time. Her typing assignments might take 3 hours longer than the other student because they've been typing emails and love letters and all sorts of things on laptops all their lives. You know what I mean? It's the small things, but when they accumulate as a social product, it become very problematic. So I think, continuously viewed as a tool, a very good tool, but not having that tool puts you in a very, 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 you know, disappropriate position. Yeah.
Do you think this issue of technology is a microcosm of a globalized issue?
Well, of course, yeah. I mean, it's not just about. Are you talking about if it's more if it applies to other things than technology? Well, of course, I mean the inequalities. Well, technology is just one thing. Then there is books in general and being exposed to a person at a private school might be exposed to books at home, and also going to school be exposed to books. While in a township school, the person from a township environment might not be exposed to books at all at home, and then also at school have less access to books than the private school ones. So yeah, it's certainly if you look at it on a global level, the differences we have, the disparities in Grahamstown when it comes to access to technology exist also on a global level, of course. Poor and rich countries, etc.
Yeah, completely agree. So global colonial passed down problem, I think.
How do you think that students can overcome this issue once they take on their own careers, as that can be outside of Grahamstown too?
Like university students, or they must be proactive, of course. And try to, from individual point of view, they must try to, obviously they must do a little bit more effort to teach themselves. But from a social point of view also, they should be try and be more activist about it. Also in the township schools, there are computer labs that are not being used enough. There is technology in the libraries, they are like, the internet is down now, but the infrastructure is there. You could potentially have good access at libraries. So they need to form more pressure groups and pressure both public and private stakeholders to do something about it.
Do you have anything to add to that?
Completely agree. It's not a one-man problem. So I think when you leave this place, don't have amnesia. You know, don't forget about Grahamstown and its problems. Mm. Come back and do something about it, I think. Yeah.
It's a perfectly solvable problem, actually. Mm. South Africa has the resources to put in good ICT infrastructure in schools and libraries all over the country.
You are listening to
Are you ready?
Are you ready?
On RMR 89.7.
Shabololo, who's it?
And speaking of the effects of technology on Grahamstown as a community and the students of Grahamstown, whether this be social or practical, there must be solutions that can be implemented. In the next package material, some of the solutions to these issues are discussed. Although Grahamstown faces many challenges with regards to technology, our reporter Caitlin D'Souza sought out to find some solutions for the digital divide which the city of Grahamstown is undergoing.
Given that stats on Eastern Cape education are quite bad, they trickle down to most of the programs that we now have, like foundation and having majority of the class being from Grahamstown and the Eastern Cape region, basically. So our education department or whoever sort of funds these things might want to start at grassroots level.
Tanasha Jani, an IT's master student and computer literacy lecturer at Rhodes University, speaks of why the computer literacy course is implemented for students.
The course outline is centered around sort of making sure they can use technology in the academic space, using the school material, how to access, are you connected, and the likes. Mostly just support them, because then at university they're expected to first week be typing on the computer, whereas some of them have never actually used a computer before.
He goes on to say how the course has helped numerous students.
And we do have testimonials of students who've gone on to do better in their second years, gotten more confidence in computers, now type faster, now create their own posters for running for SRC from literally just looking at what you did in class. So I'd like to think we're doing a good job.
However, Rod Amner, a journalism lecturer at Rhodes University, expresses that there are further solutions to be made in secondary school technology use.
So why aren't we talking about this? All these unemployed people in our town, surely some parents would be prepared to put in a few hours to come and supervise a lab so that children can do work in the evenings or in the afternoons.
Technology can thereby be used as a transformative tool in the community. Jane Veach, the course coordinator of the Digital Storytelling course, elaborates on this.
The idea is for people to be able to use their cell phone technology to produce their stories, and the hope is that the scope of digital storytelling and sharing of those digital stories acts as a transformative tool for society at large.
Therefore, there are many solutions to alleviate the various technological disparities evident in Grahamstown.
There's always going to be some kind of digital divide between those who have and those who don't. The purpose of digital storytelling is largely to enable marginalized communities to be able to tell their own stories, for them to find their voices. And in some respects, if there's internet and you have a cell phone, then, you know, there's no real problem.
Do you think these solutions are practical in Grahamstown and could be implemented in the near future?
I think so. I don't think the problem we have in Grahamstown is the kind of crisis that can't be solved. And I think these are like small practical things. I do think there is such an importance that needs to be placed as starting off as early as possible, at secondary, at primary, even better, because all that happens is it quickens the learning process, it quickens the integration process, and it also closes the gap, you know, between those who have and those who don't have. It closes the gap between access, it closes the gap between knowledge accessibility, and later on, this idea of social transformation caused by ICT becomes a real thing. Studying at university level is a little bit dangerous because you don't know when human beings get tired or get burnt out or get disillusioned by the circumstances that they come from. So the earlier, the better. But I think it's great stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, and at least one should be able to take advantage of those resources that are there but are underutilized. So like we talked about earlier, there are ICT infrastructure, there are computers in libraries, there are computers in schools that are not being used enough. And that's what we're trying to do at AwareNet. We're trying to make those resources that are there already, that actually don't need more investment, but that they are being used and that the community members and learners in general are exposed to those resources.
Although Grahamstown is a city of disparities where there is a large digital divide, community engagement programs like Upstart and AwareNet and MobiSAM are dedicated to helping lessen the divide which is prevalent. Thank you to both sirs for coming, for sharing their valuable information on these issues. Join us again tomorrow where we will be continuing the discussion on life beyond school. Tomorrow's discussion, the ideas and stereotypes around gap years will be discussed. This has been Zazagushu on Umoja, RMR, 89.7 FM, saying goodbye, tot ziens, tsamaya sentle, salagahle.
Umoja, are you ready? Are you ready?
You are listening to Umoja on RMR 89.7.